Pesut Mahakam.
Mengintip Pesut Mahakam. 1 November 2019 pukul 06.12 waktu Indonesia bagian tengah. Selamat pagi semua. Ini post blog pertama sejak menginjak tanah Kalimantan 3 hari yang lalu. Kagum atas keindahan alam yang ada, tapi juga was-was tentang masa depan dunia ini. Sejak kecil, saya bercita-cita pergi ke Sungai Mahakam dan melihat pesutnya. Sekarang, akhirnya, karena ada waktu dan uang yang cukup, saya bisa terbang ke Kaltim dan jalan ke pedalaman. Dari Bandara Sepinggan, saya ke Samarinda yang terletak di Muara Mahakam, salah satu sungai terbesar di Indonesia. Di perjalanan, kami lewat daerah yang katanya mau dikembangkan menjadi ibu kota Indonesia yang baru. Pada hari pagi pertama, kami dijemput naik bus menelusuri Sungai Mahakam ke arah hulu. Patung pesut jadi hiasan di gerbang pintu Museum Mula Warman di Tenggarong. Namun, keadaan air sungai di sana cukup mengkhawatirkan. Banyak sampah, dan lalu lintas kendaraan air juga ramai. Bagaimana seekor pesut bisa nyaman di daerah padat manusia seperti ini? Setelah kami melihat matahari terbenam dari jembatan Martadipura dan bermalam di Kota Bangun, hari kedua kami berangkat ke cagar alam Muara Kaman Sedula. Walaupun pesut sekarang jarang terlihat di sungai terbuka, tapi masih ada di cagar alam yang sepi. Saya sibuk mengamati hutan dan rawa dari ketinting yang kami tumpangi ketika tiba-tiba ada gerakan di air tidak jauh dari kami. Seekor pesut mahakam. Kepalanya bundar seperti manusia dan siripnya tidak lancip seperti lumba-lumba. Dia hanya 1-2 kali naik ke permukaan, kemudian tenggelam lagi dan lenyap dari penglihatan. Kita semua terpesona dan bersorak gembira sambil coba memotret. Pemandu wisata kita cerita bahwa tinggal sekitar 80 ekor pesut di sini. Asal-usul pesut mahakam juga dikisahkannya. Sekali waktu, ada keluarga yang tinggal dekat Sungai Mahakam. Suami istri dengan 2 anak, putra dan putri. Namun, keluarga yang bahagia digoncang ketika sang ibu menjadi sakit dan akhirnya meninggal. Keluarganya sangat berduka. Suaminya jadi patah semangat dan tidak mau lagi bekerja. Hanya mengurung diri di rumah. Sampai suatu hari, ada pesta adat di kampung mereka dengan penyanyi dan penari untuk memeriahkan suasana. Salah satu penari yang masih muda dan cantik berhasil mengobati rasa sedih ayah itu. Dia pun jatuh cinta dan akhirnya menikahi penari itu. Awalnya si penari menjadi ibu tiri yang baik. Tapi lama-kelamaan dia mulai memperlakukan anak-anak dengan kejam, seperti hanya memberi sedikit makanan dan sering menyuruh mereka mencari kayu ulin dan meranti di hutan. Sekali waktu, mereka tidak berhasil mendapatkan apa-apa di hutan, sehingga takut pulang. Mereka pun bermalam di sana dengan keadaan sangat lapar. Esok harinya, mereka dibantu oleh seorang kakek yang memberikannya makanan. Akhirnya, mereka kuat pulang ke rumah. Tetapi saat tiba di rumah, ternyata sudah tidak ada orang. Bingung, anak-anak bertanya-tanya kepada tetangga. Ada yang mengatakan orang tuanya justru pergi mencari anak-anak. Anak-anak kembali ke hutan untuk mencari ayah dan ibu tirinya. Akhirnya, setelah beberapa hari, anak-anak menemukan pondok kecil yang kelihatannya sudah dihuni orang tuanya. Baju ayahnya kelihatan menggantung di kursi. Semangkuk bubur masih hangat di meja. Tapi orang tuanya belum pulang. Tiba-tiba, anak-anak merasa badannya menjadi panas, kepalanya bundar, dan matanya mengecil. Tanpa sadar, mereka sudah menjelma jadi pesut. Saat ayahnya pulang dan melihat anak-anaknya begitu, dia panggil istrinya. Tapi istrinya itu sudah menghilang. Anak-anak pun menceburkan diri ke dalam sungai supaya sejuk dan untuk seterusnya menjadi pesut mahakam. Kami tidak sempat melihat pesut lagi hari itu. Dan esok harinya, kami sudah kembali ke Samarinda untuk pulang. Tidak lupa mampir ke jembatan kayu ulin terpanjang di dunia yang jadi kebanggaan orang setempat.
Ada dua pesan bagi kita dari pesut mahakam. Pertama-tama, kisah asal-usulnya menjadi peringatan bagi orang tua yang mau menikah lagi untuk mengurus anak yang ada baik-baik. Pesan kedua adalah bahwa kita harus lebih bijak dalam mengurus alam supaya memelihara keanekaan hayati, fauna dan flora Indonesia. Itulah yang membuat kita unik.
Blog post berikutnya, insya Allah akan saya tulis di perjalanan berikutnya. Jangan lupa tambah komentar dan menyukai blog post ini.
A peek at the dugong of the Mahakam River. Good morning, everyone. This is my first blog post since stepping on Kalimantan soil 3 days ago. In awe at the wonder of nature, but also uncertain about our Earth's future. It has actually been a dream of mine since I was small to go to the Mahakam River and see the dugongs. Now, finally, as I have enough time and money, I can fly to East Kalimantan and travel to the interior. From Sepinggan Airport, I went to Samarinda, which is located at the mouth of the Mahakam, one of the largest rivers in Indonesia. On the way, we passed the area they say will be developed into Indonesia's new capital city. On the first morning, we were picked up by bus and followed the Mahakam River upstream. A dugong statue decorates the entrance to the Mula Warman Museum in Tenggarong. But the river water there is a cause for concern. There is a lot of rubbish and also a lot of water traffic. How can a dugong be comfortable in an area full of humans? After seeing the sunset from the Martadipura Bridge and staying overnight at Kota Bangun, on the second day we left for the Kaman Sedulang Mouth Conservation Zone. Although dugongs are now rarely seen in the open river, they are still found in the quiet conservation zone. I was busy looking at the forest and swamps from our boat when suddenly there was a movement in the water not far from us. A dugong! Its head was round like a human's, and its fins were not pointy like a dolphin's. It only came up once or twice to the surface, then dived down and disappeared from view. We were all moved and shouted with joy, trying to take pictures. Our tour guide told us there are only about 80 dugongs left here. He told us the origins of the dugongs. Once, there was a family that lived close to the Mahakam, a couple with 2 children, a boy and a girl. However, this happy family was shaken when the mother became ill and finally died. Her family grieved for her greatly. Her husband's spirit was broken, and he did not want to work anymore. Instead, staying inside the house all day. Then one day, there was a traditional celebration in their village, with singers and dancers to liven up the atmosphere. One of the dancers, who was still young and beautiful, managed to soothe the father's sorrow. He fell in love with her and finally married her. At first, the dancer was a good stepmother, but as time went by, she began to treat the children cruelly, such as only giving them a little food and often asking them to gather ironwood and maranti wood in the forest. One day they could not find anything in the jungle and were too scared to go home. They spent the night there in great hunger. The next day they were helped by an old man who gave them food. Finally, they had the strength to return home. But when they arrived, there was nobody there. Confused, the children asked the neighbors. Some said their parents had in fact gone off to look for the children. The children returned to the forest to look for their father and stepmother. Finally, after several days, the children found a small hut which appeared to be inhabited by their parents. Their father's clothing was hanging on a chair. A bowl of porridge was still warm on the table. But their parents were not home. Suddenly, the children felt their bodies become hot, their heads round, and their eyes smaller. Without knowing it, they were turning into dugongs. When their father came home and saw his children like that, he called his wife, but she had vanished. The children then threw themselves into the river to cool off, and from then on became dugongs of the Mahakam. We were not able to see the dugongs again that day, and the next day we returned to Samarinda before leaving for home. We did not forget to stop by the longest wooden bridge in the world, a source of local pride. There are two messages for us from the dugongs of the Mahakam. First, the story of their origin is a warning for parents who marry again to take good care of the children they already have. The second message is that we have to be wiser in dealings with nature so that we can look after the biological diversity of Indonesia's flora and fauna. This is what makes us unique. The next blog post, God willing, I will write on my next journey. Don't forget to add your comments and like this post.